So honored to have the Gall family with us. We've been knowing them the first time they came was in March, 6 years ago. '09. And so Grayson and Harry were, Grayson was in sixth grade, I think. He just had his prom last night. So a lot's happened in those six years. But we've impacted a lot of lives because of this relationship. A lot of people saved and healed and delivered. But I just know the best is yet to come. And so we are honored to have them with us. And just open your hearts to the Holy Spirit. God's got something for you today. Amen? Jeremy, why don't you come?
Amen. Praise God. Good to see everybody. Everybody say, I'm leaving different. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, you're leaving different in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Father God, we expect great things in this place today because you're here. Oh, Lord, we thank you for it. Father, we just thank you. This atmosphere is just charged with you. You're here today. You're in us. You're moving in our midst. Hallelujah, Lord. So, Father, of course, for your glory, we expect people to leave different than the way they came in. Of course, Father, we expect healing because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Of course, we expect bondages to be broken off of lives. Of course, we expect to leave different, Father, for you are the same as you've always been, and you are here today. Glory, glory, glory. We do not let, Father, the course of this world shape our expectation for what happens, Father, when we encounter you. But we let your word and who you are shape our expectation of what happens when we gather in your name, when we encounter you, when we live with you, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory, glory. Amen. How many happy to be in church this morning? Good to be here. Sprung forward and we're all here. Boy, I'm always honored to be at Good News. You guys are family. You guys are out of all the churches that we work with, we've worked with you guys more in those past 6 years and developed stronger relationships. And we count Matt and Susie as dear friends and the whole family and all you guys. And, but when I come here, special things happen. God does things. It's great when God brings people together, how it works. You know, it's interesting how different parts, I'm just thinking about this as I'm talking. You know, if you try to lift something with one foot and one hand, it could kind of like a box, that would kind of be awkward, wouldn't it? Like to try to lift a box. But you know, two hands works really good. There's certain parts of the body that just work better with each other. Isn't that right? Amen. And we found a good match here, and we're glad about that. Hallelujah. Amen. How many came expecting something this morning? Yes. Good, good. Me too. Amen. God's here. Hallelujah. And he's here to help you and bless you. This year, 2015, I'm excited about. I believe this is going to be a breakthrough year. Amen. That was stirring in my heart. I know that's a word that's pretty common in the body of Christ. I've never really used it much. You don't find it in the Bible, but something was stirring in my heart that this is going to be a breakthrough year. And then in January, Matt wrote on my wall, a happy birthday and something about this breakthrough year in this breakthrough year. And that was just confirmation to me. I said, yes, that's what's been stirring in my heart. Then my sister-in-law said something about this being a breakthrough year. But you understand, how many believe that God, we could launch in like fast, take a big step into what God has for us? You ever feel like you've been held back? I think all of us have in different areas and just have come up against resistance. I think we all feel like that because the Bible says we have an adversary. And he'll try to put against all of us. He'll try to stop the plan of God. He'll try to stop the call of God on our lives, the mandate that God has on us, the thing that he has for every one of us to do. And that's not just preachers. That's everybody. God has a plan for everybody. God's got a purpose for everybody. He's got a place for every person, and he's got work for every person to do. Amen. The enemy will try to stop that. And sometimes I think all of us in our vision, we felt, held back. We felt like, how many of you ever felt like that? Raise your hand. Just in doing what God's called you to do. Stepping out and believing God. Praying for the sick. I know sometimes you could feel like I just want to cross that boundary and just get into it and whatever. But I believe we could break through that by the power of God. How many believe that? And we're believing God for a breakthrough year in just a lot of things and just to see his power go forth this year and demonstrate it in a greater way than ever before. So I'm just believing that for you, for us, and for the body of Christ and the people that we work with. Amen? So it's good to be back with you guys. It's been a little while, been a few months. I got a lot of good stories. How many like stories? I know just a couple weeks ago, I was ministering at a new church, Church of God in Yorksville, Ohio. And it was my first time there, and it was a cold, cold morning. Oh, my Lord, this has been a cold winter. I'm so glad to be down here and away from snow. Oh, there's so much snow. It's waist high, like on the sides of my driveway, because it doesn't melt. We just keep piling it up. We've had negative 25 this year. I'm not talking wind chill. I'm not talking feels like. I mean, actual thermometer temperature, negative 25, negative 30. I've never seen that in my life. I'm so glad that this winter's coming to an end. I mean, even, I really am. Praise God. And just cold, man. You know, it's funny though. It's like, you just can't even fathom that. I've done a lot in Russia, a lot of you know, and those are Siberia temperatures, negative 25. That's cold. That's as cold as it gets, you know. So anyhow, I'm glad to be down here. I totally lost my train of thought. Praise God. Amen. Stories! I'm in Yorksville. Thank you. I got off on winter. My brain is thawing still. I'm in Yorksville, and it was a cold morning, so we had a small turnout, just a few people. I mean, you know, about half of what they normally run on a Sunday morning. And they run about 70 in this church, and so they 30, 40-some people there that morning. But God moved, and we saw a lot of miracles. One of them, a woman came up, and I just felt impressed. I shared Vinny's story in that service, and I shared a few other stories about ears, because I knew God was going to move that way. And this woman came forward. And she had not heard out of her ear in 3 years. And God popped open that ear, opened up about 50%. Jocelyn, we tested it. You know, I told her, block her good ear. Jocelyn tested it. And then she went and filmed the video, my wife Jocelyn, after the service. And the woman's testifying. She said, my ear is 50% better. 50% of my hearing is restored. Jocelyn stops the camera, gets around, prays for her, commands that ear to open. The ear pops open to 100%, fires back up the camera. The woman's crying. She says, my ear is now 100% restored. Amen. So we got the whole video. You guys got to watch it. It's the most recent one we put up. And it goes through, you know, she starts off excited, but you know, 50%. Then she's more excited. 100%. Thank you, Lord, for my miracle, you know. Amen. So we've been putting up, started in January 2014, a miracle testimony every week. So we've been putting up weekly testimonies, and they've been watched in over 40 nations. I haven't counted in a while, but it was over 40 last time we checked a couple months ago. So thank God. A lot of them are from down here. A lot of good news testimonies there, going out, touching the world. I believe that we should share what God's doing today. Amen. Jesus is alive. So check it out. Every week on YouTube, we put up a new miracle testimony, and that's the most recent. The woman's deaf ear was opened. And then there was also another woman in that service that we put it up the week before. She had not lifted her arm above her shoulder in months, and she was in pain. And we got, I think Eden caught it on her cell phone in the service, and we said, well, show them how far you can lift it now. And she showed, and then we prayed, and then she could see full range of movement restored. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus does those kind of things, doesn't he? Hallelujah. He does them through believers. Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And he's here to do it today, isn't he? Amen. Well, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 8. Matthew 12 and verse 8. And this story, I believe, illustrates the heart of God in healing, and then the adversary that works against the plan of God, maybe better than any other story I could think of. It's just amazing the insight that we could get from this, and some things I want to share with you this morning. Starting in verse 8, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 9, departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered, and they questioned Jesus, asking, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him? And he said to them, what man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, he will not take hold of it and lift it out? I want to read verse 11 twice. And he said to them, what man is there among you who, if he has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? How many know you're more valuable to God? Amen. Than animals even. So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. Verse 14, but the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. Boy, what a strange, I mean, just not even logical sequence of events there. You know, it doesn't even make sense. What kind of person isn't excited when this man who had a withered hand, and he was, you know, this man, he had a withered hand, and he's deformed, and he's unable to do things, and he's helped, and it's restored. And then the Pharisees want to destroy Jesus for it. Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? Well, there's a few things I want to point out. First, one of my stories, the stories I've been wanting to tell you guys. So I'm ministering at this youth group, right? This is a good story. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is a good story. So, I'm ministering at this youth group. They asked me to do two Friday night services, evangelistic services, and it's pretty close to home. And so I come and do what we call like a prep service, and I came and told everybody write down the names of friends and pray for them for a week and invite them to the service, and then we'll come back and we'll do an evangelistic service. So we did that, and we came back, and some of the youth invited some of their friends, and this youth group is pretty cool. They at times they were up to like 200, and the church only runs like I think 40 or 50 on a Sunday morning, and they'll get 200 in the youth group. So they're drawing people from the community and stuff, you know. So I'm ministering in this youth group, and we did the prep service, and I come back, and we do an evangelistic service, and I preached on John 3:16. Anybody ever hear of John 3:16? For God so loved the world. And just preach on that Jesus really did die on the cross. He really did raise from the dead. He did it for you. And then I shared some testimonies of how I know this happened. I shared the story of my grandmother who was raised up on a deathbed in the hospital. I shared the story about my dog who was healed when I was a little boy. You know, that makes an impression on you when you're small. Your dog gets healed. How my dog was healed. Shared these miracle stories. And then I said, can I pray for anybody here? And I knew that it was important to have signs and wonders in this service. And sometimes it's difficult, particularly in a youth service. Maybe not nobody wants to come up sometimes. Plus, you don't have as many, you know, physical issues and things going on, for at least healing miracles. But somebody put in a prayer request. This one girl put in a prayer request at the beginning of the service, and she said she had like lockjaw, and for about 3 or 4 days she hadn't been able to open up her jaw for more than an inch and a half. She painful to eat, difficult to open up her mouth. She'd been to the doctors, and you know, they thought it was related to, you know, something going on with maybe dental or something. I don't know. So anyhow, she had been to the doctors. They couldn't help her. She's in pain, locked jaw. She can't open her mouth more than an inch and a half. I knew when she put in that prayer request, I was like, that's her. And sure enough, so at the end of the service, I gave an invitation. Does anybody want prayer? She's the first one up. She comes running up. Yeah, pray for my jaw. I said, all right, we pray for her jaw instantly in Jesus' name. Full range of movement is restored. She's opening it, closing it. Her face is all lit up. She's, you know, smiling. I said, turn around, show everybody how far you could open it before. Show them how far you could open it now. She's, you know, excited, ecstatic. And I said, now, I felt in my spirit, I said, now you guys just saw a miracle. I wanted to point out to everybody. I said, that's a miracle. I couldn't do that. You just witnessed a miracle. You know, she'd been to the doctor, told the story again. God helped her. You just witnessed a miracle. So then she went and sat down. A couple girls got born again that night. One of them, after the service, Jocelyn prayed for her in the back, and she ministered to her, and her back was instantly healed. And the girl just got born again that night, and she was in tears, and she said, God did that for me. God healed me. And it made such an impression on her, you know, that God that she just met that night, it healed her right in that service. So good things happened. I went home, and my heart stirred. I'm thinking, man, we could work with this, you know. We've got this girl, her jaws opened up. It made an impression on everybody. Other girls were coming up to her in the restroom after the service, and they said, you're lying. That didn't really happen, did it? She said, no, it really happened. She said, I couldn't move this before. Now I could. Shocking people. They're just beside themselves at what happened, right? And I'm thinking, we could build on this. The elders had offered to me of this church. They organized the youth group. They had said, just that night, the head guy who was in charge, he said, listen, you could come back and preach anytime, you know. And it's nice, it's close, and it was, you know, not far. And I said, great. I said, you know, maybe I'm going to ask him if I could just have a month of these meetings, because I think we got something off and running here, you know. There's some good stuff happening. I said, I could see something like this spreading, especially it's happening among youth, you know. I mean, the word of this kind of stuff getting out in their high schools, and then, you know, people being healed and miracles happening and people being saved. This is really good. Word will spread fast. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll come back next week. So this is what I'm kind of thinking and praying about Friday night. Sunday, I get a phone call Sunday afternoon, and it's one of the elders, and he says, listen, we need to talk. We need to get together and talk and just make sure we're on the same sheet of music. And just in the tone of his voice and his vocabulary, I could tell we don't need to have a, you did a good job talk. We need to have a different kind of talk, you know. And so anyways, we got together and we met at a restaurant. And we sat down and we prayed for the sick that night, like I said. And they said, listen, we can't do this anymore. We can't pray for the sick anymore. in these meetings. We had three parents call from the church. Now, this church was not a Pentecostal church, but I had checked their statement of faith. And in their statement of faith, they believed in healing. And actually, they had a strong healing tradition, and very strong. And that was one of their four pillars of what the church stands for, was divine healing. And the founder of the church, but a long time ago, was very famous for divine healing. And he himself was healed and wrote books on it and several things. So I said, well, this is a big part of their tradition. Certainly, this will not be a problem. So they said three people from the church called. Parents from people from kids in the youth group, and they complained about what happened, and they said that we can't do this anymore. Well, at this point, I mean, nothing infuriates me more than when somebody works against the plan of God. And I said, I understand. I said, this is your youth group. I said, that's all right. You know, you're in charge. And I did not come intentionally to go against anything that, you know, what your rules were. I said, I seriously thought this was well within what you guys believed. I said, but let's talk about your decision. And I said, now, this girl, you remember, you were there. She couldn't open up her jaw more than an inch and a half. I said, but she was able to do that. I couldn't do that. I take no credit for that. I said, who did that? They said, well, God did that. I said, that's right. I said, so you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with God. Amen. So then he proceeds to say... So then the one guy proceeds to say, he said, listen, I used to run a restaurant. He said, we didn't serve French fries. Nothing wrong with French fries. Other restaurants, you know, it's a metaphor here, metaphor for healing. other restaurants served French fries. Nothing wrong with French fries. I like French fries. It just wasn't our thing. We didn't serve French fries. He said, you know, it's fine. If you wanted French fries, you'd have to go somewhere else. I said, that's fine. I said, but here's your problem. Jesus Christ came to the service Friday night and he served French fries. He didn't have an answer. So we went on and he said, well, I know you didn't do anything against Scripture. I said, no, I didn't do anything against Scripture. I said, furthermore, I didn't even do anything against your statement of faith that your denomination holds fast to. I said, in fact, what I did was not only in line with Scripture, it's in line with the statement of faith with your own church. And he said, yeah, I know. He said, but you know, on that subject, he goes, our church is kind of divided, and we're on the more conservative side. Conservative being a code word for we don't believe that anymore, you know. So so I said, you know, Jesus came and he served French fries. It's funny. I've told this story a few times that we have a partner. She sent me a pack of French fries in the mail, like just the package. And she made like, you know, like foam French fries and put it in there. And she said, Jesus is serving French fries. She wrote on the package. So, amen. I said, your problem is this. Jesus came to the meeting and he served French fries that night. He said, well, that's just not the way we do it. And I said, well, you ought to change the way you do it. Amen. I mean, at this point, I don't care. You know, I don't care anymore. I said, you ought to change the way you do it. He said, well, I don't think we should. I said, well, you know, where are you going to go from there? So I said, let me ask you this. Would you have been happier if we had this conversation the week before and you had headed it off at the pass and warned me that you guys don't pray for the sick or that you don't want to pray for the sick and have healing service? Would it have been better if this girl came with the locked jaw and left with the locked jaw? She came sick and in pain, left sick and in pain. She came not having experienced God's love for her in that way and left not having experienced God's love for her in that way. Would you, I'm telling him this, man, right across the table. Would you have been happier? I said, how mean do you have to be? Would you have been happier if this girl left the way she came? Would that have fit your program better? Well, he didn't have an answer. Well, I can't change the past, he said, you know. And I said, I don't even know what that means, you know. So I said, yeah. And so I left it at that. I said, brother, I've said everything that I can say. And I said, if you're still comfortable in your conscience, that's between you and God. And we left it at that and shook hands and forced a smile and moved on. You know, amen. No, we ended on good terms. And we never got heated in the exchange. But I did say what was on my heart. And I did say what the word says. And how many of you know that Jesus, he wants to heal people. He cares about people. And that, it doesn't even make logical sense. But in this story, see that spirit, if you will, it's still out there today. Here's this man, and he has a withered hand. and he gets helped. And you think everybody would be happy about that. Yet there are these people. I don't even know what their motivation was. I don't know if these people were big givers in the church that called. I don't know if it was just uncomfortable for them. But what kind of person? How that you couldn't look at a teenage girl from a high school being helped and say that's a good thing. How twisted do things have to become that you can't look at somebody being touched by the power of God and say that's good? And you would think that it would be better if it didn't happen. What has to happen? Don't let that in your life. Amen? Don't let that in your life. Just settle on it. Healing is good. Amen? Everybody say healing is good.
Healing is good.
Hallelujah. But there's an adversary. And you know, Jesus, he comes there that day and he sees this man on the Sabbath. The man has a withered hand. And all he would have had to do is wait one day. Everybody say one day. All he would have had to do was wait one day to not shake the boat. Just wait one day and leave this man and come pray for him another day. Have a service the next day. Have a meeting, well, you know, however they set it up. You know, meet me here. We're going to be here tomorrow. Come there. One day, you know, to be all things to all men or to not offend the Pharisees, to not offend the Sabbath. Just one day. But Jesus was not willing to wait one day. He was not willing to leave this man in that condition for 24 hours. He said, today's the day I found the man. Today is his day to be set free. Does this give you some insight into the heart of God this morning? And then Jesus lets us into the reasoning that he uses. He lets us into the motivation that he has in healing the sick. And he says, look, he says, here's a perfect example. If you have an animal and it falls into a hole on the Sabbath, or you find it in a hole on the Sabbath, will you not lift it out? Jesus is appealing to our common sense, and he says, this is how I deal with the sick. In other words, if somebody's in a hole on the Sabbath, there's not some super spiritual reason that they're supposed to be there. He doesn't leave them in a hole so all their friends get saved. He doesn't leave them in a hole so they can draw closer to him. He doesn't leave them in a hole so that they can be perfected in holiness in some way. He says, when I see somebody in a hole, I lift them out. That day. Hallelujah. He wasn't willing to wait one day. Turn to your neighbor and say, not one day, neighbor. Today's the day, Jesus said. So many people are doing things, you know, particularly on the subject of healing. They're worried about healing offending people because not everybody believes in healing. That's what was happening at that church. The leadership, the pastor, they were more concerned about who they were going to offend than who could be helped by the power of God. They were more concerned about shaking the boat than they were about teenagers that could be set free and experience God's love in a real way, than signs and wonders that could be wrought right in their midst. And they were more concerned about who they were going to offend. I mean, Jesus, it was more important to him to heal the man's hand than it was for him to offend those Pharisees. He did not care. When he weighed everything in the balance and he said, what was the right decision here? You know, you could use the reasoning. Well, if he didn't pray for him on that day, maybe he could have reached more of them. Are you hearing me? And maybe that would have been a somewhat reasonable approach to it. But here we get some insight into what's most important to Jesus. Amen. We get some insight into what he holds highest in his decision making. And he says, I see this man today. This is the day I'm going to heal him. He didn't care how it was going to rock the boat. He didn't care how he was going to offend people. What was most important, that this man experienced his love and his power immediately. And that the enemy's work, the work of, would not go on another day. And this stirred up the enemy, didn't it? It stirred up the adversary. And the devil, we have an adversary. Everybody say we have an adversary. He rises up. And they say, we got to destroy this guy. It doesn't even add up, does it? He comes, he heals somebody, he helps somebody, he wants to help them too. They say, we got to destroy him. And it's the same kind of spirit and same kind of logic that's working in the earth today. Everybody, you got to realize you've got an adversary. Everybody say, I've got an adversary. I got another funny story for you. We're going to pray for the sick here today. And but I want you to know this, that God's on your side. And it's only anything that's held it up, anything that's delayed it, it's not been God, it's been the enemy. The miracles that God wants you to have, the blessing that God wants you to have. God's not waiting for a better time. He's not waiting for some more opportune time. As far as Jesus is concerned, I believe we can see in this story, today is the day. He said, I see this man today. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. Today I could heal him. Today I could help him. Today there's an open door. Today I'm here where he is. Today's my day. Today is this man's day. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to operate on your schedule. I'm not going to put it off till tomorrow morning. Today's the day. Amen. Everybody say today's the day. Today's the day. So, since last time I was with you guys, they opened up a boxing club in Ashtabula, Ohio. And I'm driving by, and I keep on driving by this club, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I'd kind of like to join there. I'm thinking just, you know, it's a good workout. I knew it was a good workout because my brother, I've mentioned it here before, he was in the Marines, and now he's a federal police officer in Quantico. And he was an amateur MMA fighter between the Marines. And so, he dropped 50 pounds right away. So I was like, man, this club, this looks good. You know, I know. Fighting, they do a good workout and all that. So I prayed about it though. I had a few hesitations. You know, one was, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't know whatever goes on, but I said, listen, I don't want to hurt anybody and I don't want to be hurt. That's pretty reasonable. One, it's a conflict of interest for my line of work, you know. I'm sorry about your jaw, man. Here's my card. I'm having a service next week. The Lord could help you with that. He could set you free. Amen. That was the one thing. Of course, I don't want to get hurt. You know, I'm 40 years old. I'm not looking to get my clock cleaned, you know, and I want all the brain cells I got. Amen. So, but I don't know. It had this appeal to me. I prayed about it. I felt like I had a green light. I felt like I'd get some ministry in there in my spirit, especially in the healing ministry, right? So I start going, man. Man, I'm telling you, it was nothing. Let me just say this. It was not the kickboxing class at the Y, amen. All right? These were pro fighters, all right, training for pro fights. It was no joke. So I go in there, you know, and I start training and stuff. I lost about 15 pounds pretty quick. I found a lot of it over the holidays, but back in October, September, I started shedding weight fast, jumping rope, doing pad work, we call it. I would have joined just for the lingo. You know, the trainer's name is Pookie, and he goes, you need some road work. You ain't got no wind, he says. You got no wind. You need road work. I'm like, all right, man, I'll put in some road work. Road work is running, right? So you go out and do some road work. Wind is, you know, cardiovascular. Look at his, he's got no wind. You know, you need to get in, do some road work. So I'm doing road work. I built up more. I had wind, but he's like, you're wheezing. I hear you, you know, I'm wheezing. So they spar. I said, well, I'll spar. I'm not going to fight. They said, apparently I'm a hard hitter. Cause they said, man, he goes, you ever considered being a fighter? I was like, I got some other things going on that, you know, I don't know that that's a good tent job, you know, evangelist/prize fighter. So I said, just a little bit of side work, you know, so for your sakes, Corinthians. But, you know, I had scripture for it. I mean, no, there's scripture for it. Buffet your body like a boxer. Amen. So I did it exactly like a boxer. So so I'm training there and they spar. But when they spar, you know, sparring's different at different places. Like, you know, my brother, when he sparred in MMA, they would start you off with what's called developmental sparring. And you go start off with somebody real light. And then you go 20%, 30%, and you start light and kind of work your way up. They have a totally different theory at Ashtabula Boxing Club. It's you just get beat up enough until you learn to defend yourself. That's the theory. And he says, when you go out there, I don't want you playing patty cake, he says. You better hit or I'm going to hit you. That's their theory, you know. So it's like, all right, great. Full contact, right? So you wear headgear and you know, and you got gloves on, but it's full contact. So, I'm not, I'm a nice guy. I'm not looking at, my whole life, I think I was in eighth grade in one street fight, like ever, you know. These guys have been fighting since they were five. They grew up, you know, they've just been straight up fighting each other. In fact, there'll be guys that'll come in off the street and they'll get in the ring and fight in jeans. Just take off their shirt and they'll fight somebody. Then they'll leave. They just come to fight, you know. It's just, I'm serious. They'll just come in. And like, it was one night we were there. This is for real. I knew I had to share these stories. You couldn't make this stuff up. You couldn't. This one night we're there, this guy comes in. I want to fight somebody. He's in jeans. He's off the street. Sure. Vandell, pro fighter. Go. He said, yeah, I'll play with him a little bit. They dance around a little bit. The trainer leans over to me, says, he's about to hit him hard. I look, pop, He knocks him on his back, you know. His jaw, he said, I couldn't open my jaw for 3 days, he said. So, you know, that's, he just coming off the street, puts back on his shirt, holds his jaw, goes out with his friends, you know. So, it's a different world, man. So anyhow, I seriously had no idea what I was getting into. I mean, I knew it'd be different, but you know, I had no idea, but I love it. So anyhow, I'm up there. So he says, listen, you want to put some work in. Putting some work in is sparring. Hey, you going to put some work in for me? Hey, you want to put some work in tonight? Putting some work in is sparring. I said, yeah, I'll put some work in. You know, I had no idea what putting work in was going to be like. You know, there's three heavyweights at the club. I'm one of the heavyweights. If you're over 200 pounds, you're a heavyweight. I am the oldest, lightest, and, you know, least experienced of the three heavyweights in the gym. But I hit hard, right? So because I hit hard, everybody's afraid to get in the ring with me. So these guys aren't going to go easy on me. They're going to, like, fight for their life because there's this reputation. They're like, man, they've been telling them, you don't want to get in with him. You got to learn how to defend me. And I'm telling them, I said, I've never been in a fight in my life. What are you guys talking about? So I'm like, you know, so this one guy, he was like afraid to get in there. He's like, I'm not ready for you yet. I'm like, what are you talking about? And, you know, I'm like, seriously. So anyways, we get in there, right? So I'm believing God too, man. I mean, I'm not, you know, I got confessions written out and stuff. I'm not going to the hospital in Jesus' name. Nobody's getting hurt. This ain't no game, man. This is the real thing, you know. I'm believing God, man. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing with God. Amen. So the first guy they put me up against, his name's Joe. He's 27 years old. He's built, man. He's ripped. He's 6'7". I mean, you know, he's a bouncer by trade. He's ripped, man. And most of his bulk he put on when he was doing time in county. So this is, I'm serious. This is true. This is God's honest truth. He's a bouncer by trade. He's 6'7". He could have punched me from across the street, man. He's 27 years old, you know. He's the first guy I'm ever going to spar, right? So I'm in there, you know, this guy Vandell, he's working my corner. And he says, listen, here's all you need with this guy. Well, you know, you're going to go jab high, cross low, pop, pop. Just keep hitting him with that. All right, yeah, no problem. Sounds good on paper, man. So it's like, I get out there and he just looks, I mean, you know, I spent some time with him, but he looks so big. And especially when I'm standing, you know, and I'm moving towards him, you know, and he's just like kind of blocking the light out. And so he hits me with that first jab. I'm just kind of, I don't know what I was waiting for something, I guess. Pop! And I was like, oh my Lord, you know? I was like, all my flesh was like, get me out of here. You know, what have you gotten yourself into? Because, you know, I mean, you've been hitting bags, but nobody's been hitting you, right? All of a sudden, this guy, bam! And I was like, my flesh just recoiled. And I'm like, just stay with it, you know? And everything was kind of, you know, I stayed on my feet. I finished the round. I don't remember everything that happened, but I know I finished the round. I stayed, didn't knock me down. I just remember, you know, and that was it. So then we finished that round. They said, you want to go again? And I said, listen, we're doing a round robin. I said, let me take a round off. Send this guy in, and then I'll jump in, you know, with somebody else. So the three of us were doing a round robin, going around. And so then I go off, and Vandell, the guy who's working my corner, he stands behind the heavy bags, and he puts his arms around it like this. Like he's, you know, look, he goes, hit this like you're going to hit him out there. He puts his hands around the side, you know. So then I go out there with the second guy. Oh, man, he was a big guy, Sean. He's like 300-some pounds, you know. Go out there, and then both of them, I'm the old man, you know. I'm grandpa there, 40. Compared, like the oldest guy is 35 besides me. So I go out there and still, I was just in shock from that first round. And then, you know, bam, bam, bam. And I'm bleeding out of my nose and everything. You know, I mean, I finished the round. I stayed on my feet. I was good. But I was in shock, man. So I was like, man, this is a lot. You know, this is like not everything that I'd anticipated. Are you hearing me? So my point being is, that's a good story, right? My point being is it's different. If you just live life and not realize that you've got an adversary, are you hearing me this morning? You know, just going through, it's fine training, it was fine hitting the bag and fine doing all that kind of stuff. But when you're out there with an opponent, oh, it's different. You got to learn to move with the person. You got to learn how to slip. You got to learn some defensive stuff. How many know that you've got to realize you've got an enemy? And he's actively working against you. It was a world of difference. Just, catching hands with the trainer. We could pad work, catching hands, and you're catching hands, and then you're working the bag. And it was a world of difference as opposed to when you get out there with somebody who's been training just as hard as you and is maybe a lot bigger than you. It's a lot different when you get out there. The point being, it was a shock to me, that thing. I think sometimes it's like that for believers. They just forget the fact that there's somebody out there working against them. And that shock comes in and it surprises them. Are you hearing me? I mean, that's what it was like for me. That first jab, it was like, bam, it didn't knock me over. It didn't really even hurt me. I think I was just mentally shocked, because it was more than I was accustomed to. I even heard Sugar Ray Leonard say one time, he's like, man, if I'm out of the ring for a while, you just got to get used to getting hit in the face again. I'm not sure if that's something I want to really get used to. But it's just that, it's just the mental process. It's different. So anyhow, you see what I'm saying? I think it's like that. Sometimes people, I see them and they think, oh, man, they cry. And Lord, my God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? It's happening because you have an adversary and he hates you. And the thing you got to do when that shot comes in is you don't fall down and cry. You got to answer back with a shot. Are you hearing me this morning? When that shot comes in, that's the time when you got to answer back. It has to be instinctual that bam, as soon as it comes in, you're answering back. You got an opening. If his hand's away from his face, that means there's an opening there. You got to take it. Amen. Are you hearing me? Everybody say, I've got an adversary. And yeah, he's after all of us, whether we like it or not. You see, that's a ring. That was my own fault that I got in there. But we're all in the ring of life and there's no choice to it. And the enemy's in there, isn't he? Are you hearing me this morning? And he's going to get in some shots, but praise God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I'll tell you something that has done so much damage to the Christian fighting spirit is this false idea that God's in control of everything. And everything that happens, it's God's doing it. So people don't know whether God's the enemy or God's their friend. Are you hearing me? But the Bible says, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You got to know that some things that are happening, God's doing them, but then the enemy's coming in and he's doing some things and you've got to resist him and stand against him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So if nothing else, I've got some good preaching stories out of it. I enjoy it. No, but actually I was just there a couple days before I came on this trip. I was there and somebody asked me, they said, hey, if you want to play some music, you can put on some music. And I said, you guys are going to laugh at me when I put on my music. Because I listen to, I like 50s and 60s gospel music. I like early black Pentecostal music, roots music. Sam Cooke used to have a band called the Soul Stirrers before he started doing other work. I like that. Shirley Caesar, but old Shirley Caesar, like 60s, 65, 68. Gilbert Earl Patterson, Church of God in Christ, So listen, I never played music up there before, but I'm there this one night. Somebody says, what do you listen to? You can put on something. I'm like, all right. I pop it on. So we got gospel music playing. One of the fighters comes in and he's like, oh man, you gotta be kidding me. He says, I said, man, I'm the one to blame. It's my music, but nobody says anything. So the music is playing. All of a sudden this guy comes in, and then that same fighter, he said, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. He said, hey, that guy's over there. He says he heard the music and it touched him. He's telling me, he goes, you go talk to him. I go talk to him. I said, hey, what's going on, man? He said, my wife had a stroke today. I was sitting outside the gym in my truck praying and I heard that church music, he said. And he came in, I got to pray with him. Amen. Amen. So, that was one of, I could tell you some other stories. Another guy, he said, what do you do for a living? And I always kind of like, I'm a missionary evangelist, Oh, really? This other guy, Joe, the big guy, the 6'7" guy, he said, I've always wanted to do that. He said, I said, really? So we went out and had breakfast, and I shared with him the gospel and talked with him. He was born again, but I talked with him about ministry and stepping into it. So God's opened up some doors. Amen. But I realized this, of all the things Paul could have compared us to, I tell those funny stories, but it's a reality. Paul could have compared us to senators and a lot of the politicians, businessmen. They had all those things in that day. But of all the examples of lifestyles in Paul's time, he chose boxers, soldiers, and wrestlers to compare us to as believers. Isn't that right? Runners. People with intense lives, people with extreme lives, people with out of the ordinary lives. And Paul said, man, I want you to know this is what it's like. Are you hearing me this morning? Praise God. You've got an enemy, but I'm telling you that you've got something greater that's on your side, and that's God. He's for you. And if he is for you, who can be against you? But the Bible says, I would not have you be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning a lot of things. One of those things is the enemy. He doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning the fact that we have an adversary who goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, we're going to have a healing service this morning, and I said all that to say this. Some of you may be dealing with sickness this morning, and I want you to know, I hope you gather this from all this. Sickness and disease, it's not God that's brought it on you. Are you hearing me this morning? And it's not God that's allowed it on you. Are you hearing me? Well, he didn't bring it, but you know, he and the devil have a board meeting at the beginning of every year, and they sit down and decide what they're going to do in your life, and God gives them some leeway, or keeps them on a leash, and gives them a little bit of, you know, leeway, and lets them, you know, tear you up a little bit, but then pulls them off. How many know that's not how it works? God's on your side. Everybody say, God's on my side. He's for you and not against you, praise God. He didn't cause it, he didn't bring it, and he is not allowing it to stay on your life for some undetermined, mysterious, mystical amount of time. Today's your day. Today's the day he wants you to be set free. If you know somebody who's died of a sickness and disease, I want you to know God didn't do that. He didn't need another angel in his choir. He didn't, are you hearing me? He didn't decide, oh, this is time for them to go, and that there's a devil out there. There is an adversary out there, and he is trying to hurt people. All the time, God is trying to help people, and he's trying to help you. And praise God, he's for you. He's provided healing for you, and all you've got to do is reach out and receive it and take it by the hand of faith. God wants it for you. If it was just up to God, every person would be healed, every person would be whole, every person would be free, every person would be victorious. It's the only reason that we don't have it that way is the enemy gets involved. Amen. But we can have victory. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can have victory. Anybody here come for healing this morning? You'd like to be ministered to for healing? Would you raise your hand so I could see it? Nate, praise God, right here. Anybody else, hold it up so I could see it. Over there. Good. Everybody say, Jesus is here. So we'll have a healing service because Jesus is the healer. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. One thing during praise and worship that I was thinking, and it kind of kept on coming up. Let me tell a couple testimonies first, and then we're going to minister to people. Then I'm going to share some things that God's stirring on my heart. But a couple stories. How many want to hear a couple testimonies before we get going here? Good. Praise God. I was ministering down in Kentucky, Shepherdsville, Kentucky. And a woman came forward. Nothing's too hard for God. A woman came forward 4 years earlier. She had been in a car accident, and she had a pin and a plate in her right ankle. And this pin and this plate made it impossible for her to stand on her toes or run. So she came forward and we ministered to her in the name of Jesus. She immediately began to stand on her toes, and then she took off running around that church, which was physically impossible before. Not because it was stiff, not because it was swollen, but because she had a plate and a pin that made it impossible for her to do so. I don't know what happened. I don't know if God made it so those plates could bend or if he dissolved them entirely. Excuse me. All I know that nothing's too hard for God, and whatever that needs to happen, he's able to do it. Amen? We were ministering in Russia years ago, about 5-6 years ago, and my first trip, and I was ministering in a city called Vladimir, and there was a woman there who had breast cancer, and they had taken out a bunch of her pectoral muscle in cancer surgeries there, which made it impossible for her to lift her shoulder above her arm. Now, I'm not saying that, again, not because of stiffness or arthritis or anything like that. She did not have the equipment to lift her shoulder, you understand what I'm saying, her arm above her shoulder. Instantly, in a service, as we commanded in Jesus' name, full range of movement was restored to that arm. And she was able to lift it. I don't know what happened. I don't know if God recreated those muscles instantly. He's well able to do so. Or if he enabled her to lift the arm without him. Either way, he's able. Amen. That's the point. He is able. Nothing's too hard for him, praise God. So then, also, you know, Marion, a lot of these guys were here. They came and ministered with us. Harry was there. Wesley was there when we were in Marion, Ohio. And there was, on the first night, I felt impressed to minister to, actually the second night. First night we were in the prison. We did the prison service. Second night, there was three churches that came together. And three churches. One of them was a Four Square church, which is a Pentecostal church. One of them was a former Church of Christ called Celebration. One of them was a missionary Baptist church, was the third church. Two of those churches had never had a healing service before. Guess which ones? So the Missionary Baptist and the Church of Christ. So these three churches came together for a healing campaign. On the first night that we had services, you know, with the churches there, both pastors from those two churches were healed. Matt Brandt and Corey were healed on the first night from the churches that never had a healing service before, so it set the tone. Something else that happened that night, I felt impressed to minister to next, and there was a woman there who had had a stroke back in the 90s, and she had not been able to move her neck all the way to the side since the 90s, 94, 96, I think it was. This was a couple summers ago. We commanded in Jesus' name for necks to be healed. There were several people as they stood in their seats. Instantly, their necks were loosed, and she was able to move it all the way to the side. She screamed out. She just yelled out. And then she gave her testimony after that. She said, yes, my neck is healed. I've moved it to the first, all the way to the side for the first time since the 90s. But also, she said, I was missing tendons in my arm due to things that had happened with surgeries and medications. And I had indentations where tendons were missing. She said, as you commanded in Jesus' name, I looked down and the depressions where those missing tendons were filled in. And I watched them get restored in my arm as you prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course those things happen. God created you. He created me. He created everything that we see outside. He created the birds, the trees, all the, you know, the earth and all that's in it. These things should not surprise us, but we should be surprised that we do not see more of them. God is a creator. He's always been the creator. He is not interested in being bound by the limitations of the course of this world. He is not interested in being bound by what we consider normal. He wants to show his love on people's behalf no matter what is required. He does not want to be held back. Listen, we do not need special manifestations for these greater things to happen. We do not need a special move of the Spirit. All we need is God's love, and God's love is always available. Amen. Hallelujah. Wherever God's love is, there his power is to do what he's always wanted to do. God heals people because he loves them. He wants to heal you because he loves you. That's why I know that whatever you're facing, he's willing to change it because he loves you and cares about you. And the condition that you're facing is not greater than God's love, nor is it greater than God's power. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, praise him for it. Amen. Glory to God. Who here would like prayer for their knees? I'm thinking particularly right knee. Just stand up right where you are, brother. Anybody else needs something going on in your knee? Possibly. Yeah, brother, right here. Amen. Right there. Anybody else? Glory to God. Yes. Yes, ma'am. All right. Hallelujah. Everybody say Jesus is here. Amen. God's here, man. I'm telling you, he's here. I'm just going to command in Jesus' name. Then you just do what you couldn't do before. After we command, Jesus would always tell people to do something. Glory to God. He'd always tell people to do something. And he would tell them, he told the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. He told the man with the, who couldn't walk, take up your bed and walk. He always gave him some action. So I'm going to command in the name of Jesus. God's power is going to drive out pain and the cause of it and difficulty and the cause of it. You'll be healed and restored and made whole and strong, and we'll rejoice with you. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I take authority, hallelujah, over every pain, over every damaged thing, over every tear, over every rip, over every damaged joint, over arthritis, over pain of every kind. Jesus bore our pain and the cause of it. Now, not on the authority of my name, not on the authority of any other name, but on the authority of the name of Jesus, we just command all pain and sickness and difficulty and problem, go in Jesus' name. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Now go ahead and move those knees. Do what you couldn't do before. Move them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do something. Act it. Do something you couldn't do before. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.